Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Today is Respect Our Earth Day, and that's taking place in LaGrange. It's being held by Millikan. We're going to talk a bit about that this morning. Russell Grizzle's on the line with us. He's president of the Global Floor Covering Division at Millikan. And Russell, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. Big day, I guess, in LaGrange.
Yes, we're very excited about today.
Tell me about it.
Well, today is Respect Our Earth Day for Millikan and Millikan Floor Covering. It's a day we're dedicating to refocus our efforts on both energy and emission reduction. It's focused on our associates as well to reduce, as I said, energy and emissions both at work and at home. So we want to try to educate our associates and how they can conserve energy in their personal lives.
And this is quite an event. I guess you're going to have quite a number of people on hand.
Yes, we are. We're going to have many of the local authorities, and we're also going to have one of our partners, our suppliers, Georgia Power, our electrical supplier. They'll be here to help kick it off. Over the next few days and months, they're going to be helping us educate our associates on how they can be more sustainable in their personal lives. They'll also be helping us with energy assessments in our plants and show us some of the latest breakthroughs in technology of how we can make this effort really successful as we strive to reduce our energy.
Uh-huh. Now, Millikan really has quite a track record. Goes back quite a good ways, I understand.
That's right. We can track our sustainability and environmental efforts all the way back to about 1900. So we've been at this for quite a long time. Some things, Dave, you may want to know. For example, we started tracking energy in 1971. That was a full 6 years before the Department of Energy was commissioned.
You were into sustainability before it was really cool.
That's right, because it's the right thing to do.
I see. Now, all of these things are interrelated, I imagine, aren't they? Energy conservation, water conservation, being aware of emissions and so on, all interrelated in a way, aren't they?
They are, Dave. It's very difficult to have major efforts without looking at all three of them simultaneously, major reductions. For example, water requires energy, and the more energy you consume, it has to result in more emissions. So that's why we chose to focus on energy to begin with, because we believe two things. If we can reduce our energy, we will automatically reduce emissions, and it will force us to take steps to reduce water consumption.
I see. And I guess just being aware of the whole conservation area in general causes you to be aware of every other area, I suppose.
That's right. Dave, we've been working, as I said, in this area for quite a long time. We are looking at every effort possible to reduce our total environmental footprint.
You mentioned you had Georgia Power there on hand, and you're working in tandem with them on this whole effort. What's happening in the whole state of Georgia? Are we seeing more attention being paid to conservation in general?
Well, I think it's kind of a little mixed, Dave. I think energy consumption by Georgia is up about 16% per person. However, the GDP has grown faster than that. So on a GDP basis, it's about half as much as it was in 1984.
Well, that's interesting. But I guess with all the new gadgetry and appliances and so on that we have in our home, energy use is only going to go upward, I suppose, in a pretty dramatic way.
That's right. I think that's why, particularly locally, we know how hot it's been. So I'm sure it's putting a severe strain on the infrastructure for Georgia Power. And we'll be encouraging our associates to use Energy Star appliances, for example.
I see.
To help with the demand load right now, I'm sure Georgia Power is going through. It requires, I think, conservation in everyone's efforts.
I see. Talk about the Energy Conservation Initiative. What are the elements involved in it?
Well, it will be just making everyone aware of everything that they can do to reduce consumption. Obviously focused heavily on waste. And as a reminder of that, Dave, Georgia Power will be handing out to all of our associates between now and October the 3rd, when they will have changed the light bulb day. They will be handing out compact fluorescent bulbs to kind of remind all of our associates to cut off lights and so forth, as well as invest in things that can reduce their energy consumption.
Mm-hmm. I suspect in any manufacturing facility in Georgia or anywhere else, there's lots of places where energy can be saved. It's just the whole awareness factor, I guess, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, Dave, I think it's a lot of small improvements that add up to a big gain at some point. And that's why Georgia Power will be here helping us with our energy assessments.
I see. Now, as I recall, not so long ago, a couple of years ago, Milliken initiated a project at the LaGrange landfill, and you were harvesting methane from that landfill. Talk about that initiative and how successful that's been.
Well, Dave, thank you for remembering that. We have contracted with the city of LaGrange. We take about 80% of the methane that's harvested from the LaGrange landfill. That has allowed us to reduce our natural gas consumption of about the equivalent of about 1,500 homes worth of electricity. If you look at the numbers, we're now trying to expand that to some of our other facilities. There are about 600 municipal landfills in the U.S., enough to provide electricity or the equivalent electricity of about 900,000 homes.
And that's something that, what, every landfill in the nation could potentially do?
That's right. And from the city standpoint or the municipality standpoint, it's a win-win. You're doing the right thing for the environment, and it's also a source of revenue for our city governments.
I see. Now, you will, as you say, you're going to take some measures to do this at the other facilities or the other areas where Milliken has a facility.
That's right. The next one will actually be one of our plants in South Carolina that we're looking at right now.
I see. How complicated is that to do? I'm sure there's lots of individuals listening to us from around the country that may be thinking maybe this is something they could do. How involved is that?
Well, it's not terribly complicated. Obviously, the biggest problem is working with the local municipality to get the methane to your plant from their landfill.
I see.
But once that infrastructure is in place, it's not terribly difficult.
I see. Now, I have to imagine with the track record that Milliken has had in the whole area of sustainability that carbon emissions have to be something that's been high up on your checklist. What's your position in that area?
Well, Dave, we are a carbon negative manufacturer. As far as we know, we're the only company in our state and industry to achieve that status. We have reduced our emissions since 1999 by 14%, and you put that in conjunction with we have 138,000 acres of forestry, then and small hydroelectric plants. It gives us a unique status of sequestering more carbon than we emit into the atmosphere.
So that puts you what, carbon neutral, in a carbon neutral position?
Actually, carbon negative. We sequester more carbon than we emit by quite a large amount.
That's interesting. And as you mentioned, the Greener Health and Climate Care certification, you said you're the only organization, you think, in the industry that's achieved that?
So we think we're the only one that's actually carbon negative, yes, sir.
I see, right. I see. Talk about the company's recovery and recycling efforts and reuse historically. What have you been doing in that area?
Well, I think, Dave, we've worked very hard in that area. First of all, I'd mention, I think the first thing is to minimize your waste within your operations. I think we've done that very well. We've been recognized for our efforts there, both in all around the world, and been awarded the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award. the Canadian Award for Excellence, the European Quality Award for TQM efforts. We've also engineered many of our backing systems to extend the life of the carpet, which would be the second step, to make the product last longer. And now we have a reclamation systems in place, and we're working on cradle-to-cradle technology as we speak.
I see. Now, there's also another program that I think you have launched that I want to ask you about, Trees for All, another initiative. Talk about that.
Dave, we, as I said before, we have a 138,000 acres of forestry land. If you go to any of our plants, I think you'll see the heavy emphasis on trees and landscaping and things like that. So our Trees for All initiative basically allows someone to sign on to our website at www.sustainablecarpet.com and sign up, and we will plant a tree in that person's name.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Now, you had mentioned that the company, what, the company has a great deal of forest land? Is that what you had said earlier?
That's right, 138,000 acres.
How did you come to have that? Has that always been a part of the of the program at Millikan?
Yes, it is. It is part of our corporation that most people don't know very much about. And I think Millikan has a strong heritage, I think, in working with many of the local colleges and things like that, where we even have a slogan inside that says, trees are the answer. So it kind of goes back to our heritage, Dave.
That's very interesting, and something I didn't know. I suspect, as you mentioned, very few people in this industry knew that.
I think so. I think that's true.
Now, also, I understand the company has taken some other actions as it relates to the USGBC's lead rating system in terms of having your, what, the headquarters in Spartanburg and your design center there in LaGrange registered?
Yes. Our corporate headquarters in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and the headquarters for our floor covering division here in LaGrange, Georgia, are both registered now with the USGBC lead rating system, and we'll be pursuing certification over the next few months. We also have registered our showroom in Chicago, where we have our Neocon show in June every year, and we will be looking at all of our other showrooms around the world. We'll be doing this on a global basis.
Now, achieving LEED rating for an existing structure, I understand that that's quite a rigorous undertaking. Talk about that a bit.
Well, it's obviously first and foremost an education to understand what's required. We've gone through that. We have someone fully assigned to that now. And then, Dave, I think it's just a commitment to make the changes that are necessary or required. And then there is quite a bit of record keeping after that, which I think will help us improve as we go forward, though.
Just the whole awareness factor again.
That's right.
I see. Now, do you have any more plans in terms of LEED ratings for any of the other companies' facilities?
Yes, we will be looking at that, but I don't know that we'll go after our plant sites yet, but we'll be looking at all showrooms, offices, headquarter-type buildings around the world.
I see. Now, talk about conservation in the future, you know, going forward. What sort of plans do you have in that area?
Well, we're going to get heavily focused on improving our efficiencies. And as I said earlier, we're going to keep doing complete energy audits to hopefully minimize, if not totally eliminate, all of our waste energy. And then we'll be making whatever investments are necessary to improve our infrastructure that will allow us to consume less energy. We very much believe in eliminate, reduce, and reuse.
I see. And in an audit, that would be, in your case, Georgia Power goes through and looks at your use and the benefits you're getting from it and sees areas where you can improve.
That's right, but we also have very strong internal audit systems as well as a corporation. So So we'll be expanding and using those resources as well.
I see. Now, you mentioned something earlier that I think is really pivotal. This whole initiative really goes beyond the company's manufacturing facilities and offices and so on, and expands into the company's associates. Talk about that aspect.
Well, I think in general, I think you see the public more aware of environmental issues today. It's a growing trend. So I think we can help our associates and help our environment at the same time by helping educate them on what they can do in their daily lives that will reduce their environmental, and particularly with this effort, their energy, which will save them some money, hopefully, and do the right thing for the environment.
That's interesting. And I suspect that with the focus the company has had all along, I guess you can't leave this whole idea at the office. I guess that has to, conservation has to carry forth at home anyway. I'm sure you've had a group that has been very conscious of this whole area going forward.
That's right. And Dave, we're expanding on some of our strong heritage here. We've considered everyone that works in Millican as an associate. And we stay very involved in things that we can help improve their lives and the communities that they live in. For example, we will be building very strongly upon our safety record. We work very heavily with our associates, both at work and away from work, to be absolutely the safest they can possibly be. That results in we've got a 92% lower safety record than industry averages and recognized as one of the 17 safest companies in America by Occupational Hazard Magazine, and we hope and believe strongly that that extends into their personal lives and how they can be safe and healthy. And I think this is just another step in how we help them.
Overall sustainability and having all of your associates aware of sustainability, I suspect that generates an awful lot of ideas in the manufacturing sector and in product development and everywhere else, I suspect.
We think so, yes.
I see. What are the goals for your energy conservation initiative?
Dave, we're planning to reduce our energy by 50% over the next 3 years. And that will come on top of that we've already reduced 50% of our energy consumption on a per pound basis since 1995.
Very interesting, very interesting. The floor covering industry in general and their track record at sustainability and becoming aware of the whole area of sustainability, how would you rate them on as compared to some other industries?
Dave, I think it's something that we can be very proud of as an industry. I think the carpet and flooring industry has actually been a leader here and maybe it with some strong foresight from some industry leaders a few years ago, but I think you can see that it's beginning to expand. But I think if you look back in time, our flooring industry has actually been a driver here.
I see, and a leader then in industry across the United States.
That's right.
Interesting. Let me change the subject, Russell, just for a second. A couple of weeks ago, the company announced that it was pursuing the development of its first manufacturing facility in China. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, we did announce that about 2 weeks ago. We will be starting up a facility in China by the end of this year, in December, to improve our total service to our customers in that region of the world.
I see. So this decision was made a good while ago, and you've gotten a good head start on this then, if you're going to be opening up before the end of the year.
Well, I think, David, we have been looking at it for a while, but it's also a very fast-track project for us.
I guess Millican is certainly used to fast-track. I can remember after the fire, I think that was the fastest rebuilding of a facility I've ever seen.
That's right. What you're referring to is our Live Oak facility. Our major dyeing and finishing carpet plant burned to the ground on January 31st, 1995. And was actually made its first order again in August 1, 1995. And that's built on a strong history. We had one of our big dyeing finishing plants in South Carolina was also built in 6 months from groundbreaking until it made its first order. That's of our Magnolia Dyeing Finishing Plant.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Now, Milliken is not a newcomer to having facilities in China, is it?
Well, this will be our first manufacturing facility in China. We do have a facility in Japan for carpet, but we do service and sell throughout the whole Asia region right now, servicing both from LaGrange and Japan. However, from both a service standpoint, lead time and delivery standpoint, as well as a price reduction or cost reduction efforts to our customer base there, we felt like it was necessary to start up an operation in China.
I see. Roger, what products will you be producing at this new plant going up in China?
We'll be making our commercial carpet tile there, Dave.
I see. And you will have a Millitron there, no doubt.
That's right.
I see. Now, you will be servicing primarily Asia then from this plant?
That is the plan, Dave. We'll be servicing all of the Asia region. We have no plans to use that facility to ship back to the U.S.
I see. Talk about the location.
Well, it's in a town city called Zhangjiagang. It's about 100 kilometers north-northwest of Shanghai.
I see. How did you seize on that particular location? How difficult is it to find a place in China?
Well, they're getting quite advanced. We had a team go study locations for about a month, and go to but the China government has set up very strong economic development zones that are pursuing foreign direct investments, and so we went to all of them. So they've built quite an infrastructure to encourage investments in their country.
I see. And this is a facility that it's wholly owned by the company, I understand.
That's right. It'll be a wholly owned enterprise for
us. I see. What kind of growth have you been seeing in the commercial sector in China?
Well, the China market is exploding. I think everyone reads about all the infrastructure being built there over the last few years. It is forecasted to continue at a very hot pace. I think if you read projections that are available to almost everyone in the industry, it's probably in the neighborhood of 10 to 12% over the next 3 to 5 years.
I see.
And it's all nearly new construction. It's not so much replacement as it is here in the U.S. market.
I see. And modular is pretty hot in China, as I understand it.
That's right. A heavy emphasis on commercial facilities and not so much consumption of soft floor covering in the residential sector yet.
Are there a lot of other producers of modular carpet that are set up and operating now in China?
There are some U.S. based, and but a lot of smaller Asian countries in the marketplace right now.
I see. Do you suspect that a lot of other players from the U.S. will now follow suit and set up shop over there?
I would anticipate some competition continuing to move to that region.
I see. What's the potential for expanding in this facility that you're talking about into other, say, non-commercial products or even other types of commercial products? Is that a possibility at any point in the future?
It is a possibility. I think, Dave, it's something we will be watching, but as we sit here today, we have no plans, no concrete plans to pursue that at this point.
I see. One of the things also that I found interesting from the announcement that the company made, that the Milliken brand was one of the 10 most trusted brands in China. How'd you find that out?
Well, it was an award we received quite proudly, but a little bit of a surprise as well. It's an award given by the CIID organization in China. So it was quite a surprise to us, but one that our research had said we had a very strong brand there, but didn't realize it was in the top 10.
Well, that's interesting. Well, congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
Talk about the year 2007 and the floor covering marketplace in general, not just, well, primarily here in the U.S. The market seems to be very good in the commercial sector, not so good in the residential sector. What do you see going forward?
Well, Dave, 2007 has been a pretty tough year, I think, in general, driven, as you said, by the residential sector. Commercial seems to be doing much better and helping sustain some of us through those tough times in residential. I think, unfortunately, I don't see it really improving the rest of 2007. Hopefully by mid-year 2008, we'll see it start to pick back up and get back on a nice growth curve.
Do you see any reason why the commercial market shouldn't go on as well as it's been going on?
I think, Dave, it's going to continue pretty strong as long as there's not a major upset to the economy over the next few months.
I see. Well, Russell, I appreciate very much you coming on the radio with us this morning. Congratulations on your energy conservation initiative and the event you're holding there, and also your new operation in China. I welcome you back sometime in the future.
Thank you, Dave. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We've been talking with Russell Grizzle. He is the president of Global Floor Covering Division at Milliken & Company. And this is Floor Radio.